Delving deep into the heart of globalist plans, it's Owen Schroyer.
All right, I'm sure you've heard of the popular band UB40 with their popular record Red Red Wine, amongst others. The lead singer, Matt Holt, with the group forever, was kicked out for refusing the vaccine. Here's the story.
I was never anti-vax. I've traveled the world with that band. I've been to places where I've had to have yellow fever, like, you know, injections, like Africa and Asia, and you have to have vaccinations. So I was never anti-vax, but there was just something when this came out, I just thought, there's a red flag here. There's just something not right. So I know they would have had that feeling as well, but they still went ahead and had it, you know. And I mean, it's like Astro passed away 6 months after having the COVID vaccine. They hate me talking about it because they go, oh, well, he died of an asthma attack. No, he didn't. You know, he had the COVID vax. And I said to my other half, 6 months, something's going to happen to Astro. And he did. He died 6 months after the Pops was already showing slight elements of dementia, forgetfulness, nothing to worry about. It was just his age. He was 73. As soon as he had the COVID vax, he just went, it was like a huge dive. And I'd left the band at that point, but I was getting messages from US tour managers saying he's all over the place. He keeps going back to his guitar case to check on his stuff 3 and 4 times to check his guitar still in there. Is he put new strings on? He keeps going back, calling me. Can we go over there? Can we check? This wasn't that guy, you know. He wasn't that type of, he was confident and he knew his stuff. It was affecting him, and that was the vax. But they will not approach the subject. But I know it's the vax. I know that's what's done this to these people. Well,
I think there was a recent study just published, and I'm not sure whether it was from Japan, which was talking about the effects on the brain.
Yeah. Yeah. I think it's a lot of underlying health symptoms, the vax attacks anyway, which was one of the main reasons that I didn't have it. One, the first reason was that I didn't, it was just a red flag. Secondly, I suffer from a condition called atrial fibrillation, which is an irregular heartbeat. And I'd already had a bad reaction to the flu jab because I had a procedure called a cardioversion, which was to shock my heart back into rhythm. And I was advised by the consultant cardiologist that I was vulnerable to have the flu jab. So I did. And then on the evening, I was taking a shower, and as I had this huge growth under my armpit, it was like half the size of a tennis ball under my lymph gland. And I said to my wife, I said, this is really painful, this really hurts. And she said, stupidly, because we've had vaccines before and I'd had side effects from vaccines, not even thinking about it, she said, it might just be a reaction to the vaccine, just let it go overnight. And so I did. Following morning, it threw my heart back out of rhythm. So being that it was a SARS vax, there was no way I was touching the flu vax or any kind of vax ever again, you know. But these people, they just did it for the sheer sake of just working, you know, and carrying on doing what they did. But it affected them long-term badly, you know, and I'm seeing it still now. And not just UB40, other musicians and people that I know, it's affecting them. At the time, they were all like, yeah, well, what are you doing? You're not working anymore. You're at home. You've lost everything. And I did. I lost everything. I did. You know, I had rainy day money. That's all gone, you know. And I'm literally, I hit rock bottom. But there is, the line I came up with, I wouldn't put my life on the line just so I could sing Red, Red Wine. These guys were going, yeah, but I'm still, I'm touring now. I'm back out on the road. Well, that's great. You know, enjoy it while it lasts.
Astro isn't,
you know, and there's countless other musicians that I know that are not anymore. They're either dead or they've got some side effect that is preventing them from working there. So it's like a role reversal, you know.
Well, Eric Clapton, he
had something with his fingers that he couldn't play properly anymore.
He had an existing problem, I believe, mm-hmm. But then afterwards it just shot through the roof.
Yeah, he exacerbated what he had. Yeah.
When he wants to play, he's in a lot of pain.
Yeah, yeah.
And he's lost that. He's lost that joy. I mean, he can play for a bit, but
yeah. What's the point?
Yeah.
There's no joy in that. Music should be about being free and just falling into it, so your audience falls in with you. You know.
Dead, dead,
nitric boost, turmeric 95, high quality CBD gummies. It's all available at InfoWarsStore.com via the InfoWars MD line. Now, this is a private label of one of the top supplement makers in the country of high-end quality at reasonable prices. They let us private label their products. That's why you've already heard of Body's Ultimate Turmeric Formula. Well, we got the 95% curcuminoid from them. This is just their brand of that. And so it is available under Turmeric 95. That's the name. So we're sold out of Body's, but we have Turmeric 95 that is, again, the same concentrated turmeric. Same thing with Nitric Boost. Nitric Boost came from this company. They even let us use their name. It's now our best seller. We sold out of our version. Their version has a white bottle. It's the exact same thing. You get it at InfoWarsStore.com. So check out InfoWars MD at InfoWarsStore.com.
The antidote to the establishment's lies. Welcome to the War Room. Your host, Owen Schroyer.
Possibilities of reality, predicting the future of things we all know. Fighting off the disease programming of centuries. Science has to recognize the single most potent element of human existence. Letting the reins go to the unfolding is faith.
All right, joining us live now is Kirk Elliott, KEPM.com/gold is where you can find him. And we've had a lot of big breaking economic news this week, and we're going to find out what it all means. But Kirk, let me start out with this. We are now at a pace where the interest on our debt is going up on a $1 trillion scale every 90 days. What does that mean?
Well, I mean, that means we're on pace for $4 trillion of new debt in a year, right? So when interest rates are where they're at, right, and we've got all this debt added on top of the $37 trillion that we've already got. I mean, this is insane, right? So, Owen, that means just the interest-only payments on our debt is going to be pushing a little over $1 trillion a year. That's the interest-only payments. If you never pay down the principal, you're at $1 trillion a year. So what do we bring in as a nation, right? So we have to start asking these kind of questions. Well, we bring in about $4.8 trillion. So if we're spending $1 trillion in just interest, that's like 20% of everything that we bring in goes towards that. That number is unsustainable. It's absolutely unsustainable, but we then have to say, how in the world did we get there, right? So it's because we were the world's reserve currency, because we were the petrodollar, and all oil settlements had built-in demand for our currency, the U.S. dollar. So didn't matter if we raised the debt ceiling every stinking year because politicians couldn't, you know, control their spending. Doesn't matter if we printed money and had stimulus because there was always somebody else who wanted our currency. That's not the case anymore, Owen. So as of January, when basically almost all of OPEC practically is like part of the BRICS nations with United Arab Emirates and Saudi Arabia and Iran and Egypt and Ethiopia and Argentina, they're all part of the BRICS nations. And they've said, we're not going to take the U.S. dollar anymore. We're going to take anything else but that. Yeah, they kicked us out. So here's the problem. We've got all this debt. We've got all this stimulus. We keep raising the debt ceiling. Now our interest-only payments on our debt's $1 trillion a year, and we have no built-in demand for our currency. That's an awful thing, right? That's unsustainable, and we can't actually pay that back because we've lost the reserve currency status. So now politicians, the implications of that, which is kind of what you asked at the beginning, what comes next, right, after all this stuff, politicians are going to have discretion in their spending, in their bills.
Sorry, that's rich.
I know. That's something else, isn't it? It's weird to think about. But so this is where Trump, 3 weeks ago, Owen, he had said that he's got this plan for America. He wants to abolish income tax and go back to tariffs and excise taxes for actually the government to make money. Well, what would that do? Right. See, this is how the founding fathers envisioned it for America. We didn't have an income tax in America until well after over 100 years after America became a nation in 1776. So if we put tariffs on foreign goods, all foreign goods become more expensive, which is going to do what? People are then going to want to start buying American. Right. When people buy American, remember, jobs follow manufacturing. Then you've got more people working. We're not reliant on imports, and more people are working, more people are spending. This is actually a brilliant plan, right? And it's the way that the founding fathers envisioned it. But in the era of central banking, they screwed everything up, right? They screwed everything up. And so then here's a weird concept. It's like, if you're a central bank and you could print money at whim whenever you want to, why even have taxes, right? Because taxes to me are like the weird, you know, it's like, okay, well, let's just say we have to raise taxes because we're running out of money. It's like, you fools, you could just print money whenever you wanted. So they would print money and they would raise taxes and they still squandered it. This is the problem that we have with our politicians right now, and especially with the left, who wants to, you know, play Robin Hood. And give away everything with entitlements and shut down the economy with pandemics and everything like this. It's like that. But here's where I wouldn't say that they're stupid. I just say that they're evil. they just have a different ideology than we do. And they want a different outcome. Their outcome is to get rid of banking as we know it, to get rid of private capital as we know it, and to go with something like what you and I have talked about probably three times, central bank digital currency, which is complete control of a person's accounts and the ability to cut you off from buying or selling. That's where they want to take us, Owen.
Well, and this kind of gets into the larger corporate world government phase. But I think the phase that we're in right now, and this is why the people that are negative on Trump's plan to cut or remove the income tax and replace it with tariffs is they don't understand the long-term thinking here. This is a long-term success plan. And I think if you kind of look at the stages of globalism here, the first stage or maybe the second stage, whatever stage, the stage that we've already gone through that's put us at this point is we removed manufacturing from America. And that was then moved to China. And so now all the goods are made in China or maybe Taiwan or maybe somewhere else in the East. So they manufacture all these goods. They get to pay their people a nickel an hour. You have to pay people here, you know, $8 an hour, whatever. So they cut all these deals in government. They cut all these deals. We'll ship manufacturing over there instead of producing it here. And so what happens? Well, your downtown areas, your manufacturing districts, they all go poor. And then you don't have jobs that you can start with a wage that earns you enough to maybe even purchase a house after a couple of years, purchase a car. You don't have those jobs in the cities anymore. Everything goes to the service sector. So that was kind of like phase one of this. It was removing manufacturing from America. And so Trump's plan brings that back. That is foundational success. That is long-term success. If we start manufacturing our own goods again, it doesn't even matter about tariffs or income taxes or all this thing. We're building our own products. We're sustaining our own economy now. It's like a self-fulfilling standard of economics.
It is. And see, so that would be an ideal world, right? This would be similar policies that Trump had in his first 4 years and what Reagan had: lowered taxes, lowered interest rates, create jobs, bring jobs back to America, people spending, buying. You know, it just is this amazing thing, and it's not rocket science. But here's where they want to usher in something that's all about people control, like we talked about. Now, the danger with that is, look what happened with CrowdStrike, right, a couple weeks ago. It's like, okay, software upgrade gone bad, and it shut down airlines, it shut down travel. You know, American, United, Delta, they were all grounded. Banks couldn't wire funds. We get millions of dollars a day in bank wires coming into our company. It's what we do, right? We we sell people gold and silver allocated into their portfolios, and they exchange cash, which we then pay the vendors. Well, normally a bank wire goes through in like an hour, right? You wire it out and it's there. Well, we would wire funds. They would leave our account. They wouldn't show up at the receiving bank. People and the vendors would call and say, yeah, guys, you know, didn't you guys wire us the funds for the millions of dollars of metals you purchased for your clients? It's like, yes. But so the banks weren't working. Hospitals couldn't do surgeries because their software wouldn't work. This all happened in like over a weekend, right? And it was like disarray everywhere. So imagine if this were the case for a week or a month or a year, or you know what you've had to experience, your freedoms taken away for a long time.
I'd say a month would probably be all it took.
I mean, that would be all it take. But imagine the rest of your life, right? Imagine if they didn't like the political party you donated to, the church you gave to, the gas that you put into your truck, the food that you eat, whatever, and they just shut you off because it's not part of the globalist agenda. We got a taste of it over a weekend, and people didn't like it. But this is the danger of moving everything digital, right? So Australia, when CrowdStrike went down, sadly, they used Microsoft servers for all of their money, and they went completely digital many months ago. They started with, you know, putting limits on ATM withdrawals. Then they got rid of ATM machines. Then they actually legislated, we're going cashless only. So imagine being completely digital and you can't actually access anything. It's like nobody could buy anything in Australia. Well, now you take it one step further. And yesterday they passed stupid legislation that there's people's social credit score. You have to provide a passport, a driver's license, something, and have 100 social credit points to open up a social media account so you can say things, right? And have your social media profiles and all this stuff. But then once you open that, the police have access to everything, even your private chats. People just gave away their freedom in exchange for convenience, and they don't even get it. They absolutely don't get it. This is the world that we're marching into, and the economics, the financial meltdown is only a piece of it.
Well, I was talking about this earlier. There's this lack of ability for multidimensional thinking or even just basic action reaction or choice consequence. I mean, that's basically what you're getting to here. And, you know, the other angle to this as well is, okay, think about a cash transaction. I'll use the example, like when I was a kid, if I went down to my neighbors and babysit their kids and they gave me, you know, $50 cash for a night, or I would umpire at a local school down the road, and the school commissioner would just pay me cash to umpire these games. Well, okay, I'm getting cash. Government can't reach in and get their grubby little paws on that transaction. And that just drives them crazy, Kirk. That they got these gangsters, they gotta get their cut, man. How dare you make a transaction and they don't get their cut? And so that's why they also hate cash, is they want everything to be on a digital platform so they can reach in there and grab it and take their cut.
Well, yeah, and so that's not an extreme way of thinking. Oh, and in fact, what that was legislated way back in the Obama days with the Dodd-Frank bill under bail-in legislation. So that's what a bail-in is. A bail-in is when something runs out of money, like banks. Like, for example, when Silicon Valley Bank went down, remember that back in March of last year? And then they had four other banks. One of those banks was Signature Bank. Signature Bank got bought out by Community Bank of New York. Well, Community Bank of New York went underwater, right? Because why? Because they bought toxic assets. You can't buy this toxic bank and expect your balance sheets to still look good. And then in April of this year, Republic First Bank in Pennsylvania went into FDIC receivership, and Fulton Bank bought them out. What happened earlier in this week? Fulton Bank decided, we got to close up 18 branches because we bought all these toxic assets and it basically tainted the entire well. So you've got all these things happening and banks running out of money. What comes next? Bail-ins, where the depositors of those banks are going to have to bail them out, because Janet Yellen, after Silicon Valley Bank, said, too big to fail, no such thing. We are not going to bail out any of these failed institutions anymore with government money. we're going to pass that buck on to the depositor under a bail-in. You have to bail out your own financial institution. That's what a bail-in is, right? So they've already legislated that. People don't realize, Owen, that their bank accounts, your checking, savings accounts, your money markets, your all that stuff, it's not yours anymore. It's not mine. It's not anybody except for the banks. We gave up our ownership and we're now beneficial owners, which is why they don't have to ask for permission to use your assets as collateral to pay off some derivatives debt. I mean, this is the world of bail-ins and why it is so incredibly important that people understand the financial safety of the financial institution they're with, because if you're not, I wouldn't have too much money there.
Yep.
I truly wouldn't.
Well, and not only that, most people don't even realize, or maybe until it's too late, that they don't even have the cash on hand, and B, you think you can go make a withdrawal. You can't. They'll tell you that. You'll learn that the hard way. And yes, Kirk Elliott is our guest, and if you would like to remove the fiat currency that's losing value from your bank account and get into precious metals like gold bullion, Kirk Elliott is your guy, KEPM.com/gold. Hold on a second. Kirk, I'm getting a call from the IRS. They're asking me about $50 I made babysitting when I was 14 years old. They're going to have to – okay, I'll catch up with you guys later. Sorry. But this is why it's so important. When Trump talks about no tax on tips, look, there just needs to be – I don't even know what you do. It's like, hey, if I want to go down the street and make a transaction in cash with somebody for whatever reason – I don't need the government. I don't need the government shaking me down. I don't need the government getting their cut. I mean, that needs to be the ruling. Here's a question for you. A lot of people don't talk about this. Trump brought it up. What about repatriation of funds or increasing a tax on funds that people send out of the country? People come to America, they work, and then they send their paycheck to the countries where they came from. What can we do to keep that money here? That's a big issue people don't talk about.
Well, that is a big issue. And see, when Russia invaded Ukraine, Biden kind of did this, right? Biden said, hey, you've got to basically pay up. We're going to freeze your assets, right? Because you're doing something that we don't like. So this whole concept of repatriation, if somebody is sending money outside of the country, you're earning it here, but then you ultimately aren't paying taxes. It's going somewhere else. I don't know how you police that except stop international bank wires. But how the administration does it is they just freeze another country's assets so they can't get them. This is the problem that other countries around the world are now seeing. So you said repatriation. Other countries are saying, hey, America, send us our gold. The part that you have at the Federal Reserve Bank of New York, we want it. We want it on our homeland because we're afraid of these political economic sanctions and what you did to Russia. We're not going to have it. So this whole concept of repatriation is what? It's a distrust of government is what the underlying theme is. So when people don't trust the government, they're going to try to get it on their own body, in their own possession. They're going to get it away from what they consider the bad people, right? And so – we've got other countries pulling their stuff out. We've got people in America who actually aren't citizens that are taking money, and then they're pushing it offshore. It's like, well, okay, don't allow it then if they're not citizens, right? I mean, that one's kind of an easy
fix. Or tax it at a high rate. I would agree. I would say if you're a non-citizen, tax it at an extremely high rate. Or even if you are a citizen – or an immigrant and you're sending money back home, I would tax that as well.
Yeah, I mean, they're getting away with no tax, and the people who actually live here and work hard are getting higher taxes. It's a backwards communist system, and you just have to start some of these concepts. You flip them around, and the people who have earned, who paid into the system, you know, tax them less. The people who are just taking money and then, you know, cash under the table, you go to some kind of Western Union, you ship it offshore, whatever you do. It's like, okay, tax the living daylights out of something like that. That's the equivalent of a tariff on foreign goods, just in the reverse direction.
Well, and again, it's the reverse. What's happening is the reverse of what should be happening. Americans are paying the highest costs. We're paying the highest costs. Foreigners are getting free stuff and then not even getting taxed. I mean, it's like it's the reverse. The Americans should be having the lowest cost and the most benefits. Instead, the non-citizens have the lowest cost and the most benefits. We have the highest cost and the least benefits.
Yeah. Weird how that works sometimes. Sadly.
Well, I can't even imagine.
But this is why we have a problem. This is why we don't have a revenue problem in America. We have a spending problem, right? It's not hard for me as a business person, as an economist, when I look at the budget of the United States, politicians always say, we've got a revenue problem. We've got to raise taxes. We got to generate more revenue. It's like, no, you don't. Look at the other side of the transaction of the balance sheet. Stop spending so much money. The revenue is just fine. Don't spend as much. But it's hard for people to actually say, oh, we're going to cut spending when over 83% of everything that we bring in as a nation goes out towards entitlements, mandatory payments, things like that. It's like, if you start cutting that, you're cutting votes, right? And so no politician's going to want to do that. So they blame revenue streams. And this is where the Fed is and the Treasury Department are in this between a rock and a hard place, right? Because we saw a little bit of this with Japan failing over the weekend because they raised rates a quarter of a point. That ended the Japan yen carry trade, where they've had low interest rates close to zero forever, and people would borrow money from China and then invest it elsewhere. It's just arbitrage. It's all it was. But that now, with rising interest rates in Japan, Jerome Powell saying, oh, we're going to lower interest rates, that amplifies the problem. This is why we saw this market meltdown, because a $20 trillion carry trade industry was just kind of destroyed. We're at the beginning days of it. And this is going to have implications. But of course it is, because it's all based on debt. When you have rising interest rates and you're shackled with debt, it's going to have implications. And that's where the world is right now, which is why you need to get out of that system, go into something that's tangible and real, and protect and preserve and grow and thrive. That's how you can have a smile on your face, Owen, even given everything that we're seeing.
Yeah, it would be much more comforting to not have a big number in the bank that could just go vamoosh overnight, and instead have a hard asset like a precious metal. KEMPM.com/gold. Loaded question for the final 60 seconds here, but is a bank collapse or an economic collapse inevitable? And in a strange way, would we want Trump in office to be there for that?
Yes and no. Is it inevitable? Yes. We've basically hit the point of critical mass. Banks are running out of money. FDIC only has 1.17% of all deposits insured. We've got more withdrawals than we have deposits out of the banks. The banks will fail. You see, and Trump got in trouble a while back for saying, hey, the economy is going to fail and I want it to happen before I'm in office, right? Well, of course, anybody would say that, because if he's in office when this fails, he's going to get the blame for it, even though it's not his fault. He's not saying.
But Kamala Harris can't probably. But I'm saying Kamala Harris probably can't add 1 + 1 or even know what a dividend is. At least Trump maybe can understand what to do.
He would understand what to do. But even if he were the president today and this went down, what Biden did to America is so devastating. It's going to take probably a year to two just to get back to zero. Right. So but Trump would get us back there. He's the best economic president this country has ever seen, even better than Reagan. But it would take a while. It's not going to happen overnight. We have to have real expectations on it. But yeah, I would rather he be in, but he would get blamed for it if he were in.
So, well, yeah, I mean, if you trip on a sidewalk crack, you know, you just find a way to blame Trump. Kirk Elliott, thank you for your time. KEPM.com/gold.
So they always tell you it's the most important election of your lifetime, but of course, this one actually is. That's demonstrable. And it's also, because it is so important, being censored at every level by the tech companies. So we were thinking about this a couple of months ago, and we thought, why not get on the road live in front of actual people, live audiences, coast to coast, a nationwide tour where we can't be censored. That'd be good. It would also be fun. So we're doing it. We're going to be on stage with some of our friends, some of the most fascinating people we know, the most recognizable people we know, responding to what is happening in America this September in real time. It'll be just like the podcast, but it's going to be live. So we're excited to announce our friend Larry Elder, is coming to join us in Milwaukee, Wisconsin. Our friend John Rich will be there with us in Sunrise, Florida. We're adding more stops. We just added another stadium show in Reading, Pennsylvania. We'll be joined on stage by Alex Jones. They tell you what Alex Jones is like. Have you seen him in person? You should. Make up your own mind. It's going to be fun as hell and interesting and intense, and we hope you will join us. Go to TuckerCarlson.com right now to get your tickets. See you there.
While other networks lie to you about what's happening now, InfoWars tells you the truth about what's happening next. InfoWars.com/show.
We interrupt this program to bring you a special report.
America has been captured. We have an occupied government. Any loyal American who does not want to be a complete slave of a biomedical extermination operation needs to get informed quick, get right with God, and then start telling everybody you know about it and not complying with the system. The system is here to destroy us. Complying with it will get you killed. Period.
We told you what was going to happen, and it did. Now we're telling you what's coming. At Real Alex Jones on X.
Obviously, silver's doing way better than gold in growth, and it's way undervalued. That's a fact. Why then are the central banks mainly hoarding gold?
Well, because there's simply not enough silver, right? It's like if you've got central banks that start allocating into silver when it's $30 an ounce and they want to have it be part of their reserves, it's like, okay, there's not enough silver in the world to do that. Right. So they have to do gold because it's $2,400 an ounce, not $30 an ounce. Right. So this is why
they've
central
got so many quadrillions
gold.
Of fake money. There's not there's too much fiat to even buy the silver, which I would say then means silver still will always be the thing that grows the most.
Oh, so silver, historically, the numbers prove out that when gold is in a bull market, which it is, we're near all time highs. Silver does better than gold, so silver grows faster. And there's a reason why. Silver and gold both act as barometers to government distrust, right? It's the worse things get, the better financial metals do. They're a flight for safety. But what silver has that gold doesn't is it's a manufacturing metal. It's used in industry. So in aerospace, in defense, in electronics, in solar power, electric vehicles, all of that. The demand for silver is through the roof, Alex, and we're just taking advantage of that. And imagine what silver will do with Trump being president, somebody who actually grows the economy rather than having a stagnant economy. The industrial need for silver is absolutely going to explode.
Now, you're right. Silver is the closest thing to a silver bullet. That's why they call it a silver bullet. People should go to kpm.com/gold right now and get silver now. We'll be right back.
While other networks lie to you about what's happening now, InfoWars tells you the truth about what's happening next.
If you are receiving this transmission, you are the resistance.
Making talk radio great again. This is The War Room with Owen Schroyer.
All right. Oh, my. Kamala Harris, Haktua, and Tim Walz have had their first joint rally now. It's in Philadelphia, and they're stunned. They actually have a big crowd. It's energized. And they're oh my gosh, this is amazing. We actually have a crowd now. And, I just sent the crew the videos. This is really awkward, though. This is really awkward stuff. And it's this, like, disbelief that they're even there. It's this disbelief that they even have a crowd. It's this enthusiasm that everybody knows is totally phony. And are they drunk? I don't know. You can be the judge. We'll have that coming up. I want to just start clearing out some of these videos I have here. This is Eddie Griffin, famous comedian. And so, look, they can continue to sell Kamala, and people will buy it. Oh, she's a black woman, so I just love her so much. They don't even know about policy. They don't even care. They're just that dumb. It's the Democrat voting base. But it's not going over in all these circles, folks. It's not, especially amongst black men, that think for themselves, like Eddie Griffin. And this was himself on his podcast. And, well, he wasn't too kind to Kamala, clip 11.
Of rights are on the line. Our Supreme Court is on the line. Our basic freedoms are being tested. Madam VP, I know you've been traveling across the country. What are you hearing?
Yeah, girl, I'm out here in these streets. And let me...
You're lying, bitch. You out in these streets. Oh, so all of a sudden, you black again. Because it's election season. They need a nigga. So, you know, I'm out in these streets. What streets are you in? Huh? What streets? You out in the streets with your white husband, huh? Them streets. Yeah. Because you harder than steel, still getting harder. Madam VP, you understand me? You know what I mean? Yeah, man, I'm in these streets. You know what I mean? I'm a hustler, supreme. I'm in the streets, God. I'm hitting the pavement, agitating the gravel. You know what I'm saying? I'm kicking rocks like a mother.
Streets. And let me tell you, you're right, Taraji. There is so much at stake in this moment. The majority of us believe in freedom and equality. But these extremists, as they say, they not like us.
No, they not.
Yeah, look at this bitch. They not like us. Ah, Kendrick, kick her in the head. Kick in the head for even using your goddamn legs. They not like you. Ain't like us either, bitch. Well, how about that? Hold on. They will take anything and use it as a slogan to try to get them votes, boy. Then they didn't try to this black bitch out. And turn her into a nigga once again. You know, that's how he won last time, got the black vote because they got the black woman. But this bitch, she ain't black at all. I don't know what she is, but you think she ain't no nigga. I know that much. Yeah, you know, she got a white husband. Because, you know, she's so black. She's so down with us that she married a white boy. Like a majority of these mayors and female senators that are black. All of them got white husbands.
Yeah. I'm telling you, there is some enthusiasm for Kamala, and they're obviously going to reach out to the low IQ voting base that can't think for themselves and don't know anything about policy that, oh, look, a black woman, and they'll just buy into it. But it's shallow, and I don't know if... Will it be overwhelmed by commentary like you hear from Eddie Griffin there? I don't know. But there will be a pushback. There will certainly be a pushback. And this is going to become the back and forth, I think, on the identity politics issue of Kamala Harris. By the way, that was from before she chose Tim Walz. A white guy. Man, oh man. So this is what they're going to run on is she's a black woman. And look, I can speak in Ebonics and I can dance and I do chicken wing arms and I got these limp wrists to make it look like I'm cool, like she's doing right now as this is live. Oh, my gosh. Is it the most cringe of all time, guys? I'm asking the crew. Bush? The crew is saying Bush might have been more cringe. Wow. All right. I wasn't expecting. Romney gets a vote for cringe level. I think Kamala has reached peak cringe in politics. I don't think we've ever seen anything this cringe. Not as a candidate. Beto was cringe. Kamala still tops it. Oh, Kamala tops it. That was unintentional. This stuff comes naturally to me. We got some more here, but see, this is the type of pushback I'm talking about. Here's another one: former Democrat, not white, who's going to be voting for Donald Trump? Clip 15.
MAGA is filled with racist, homophobic white people. At least that's what I was led to believe. Because over the past 9 days, I've received more love from the MAGA community than I have from the Democratic Party in 25 years. And in the same way our economy was better off under the Trump administration, the numbers don't lie. Oh, I have the receipts to back it up. You guys have viewed my post over 2 million times with over 100,000 likes, over 40,000 shares, and my personal favorite, over 10,000 of the most beautiful comments that I've ever read in my life. You guys have embraced me, and you have catapulted this Puerto Rican gay man into the social media spotlight as your spokesperson for common sense. And if it was something that the MAGA community needed, somebody that the left could not call homophobic or racist. Rigo, how did you view us before all this happened? Well, in the way that the media portrayed you guys, I believed that anything patriotic equaled racism. And the media tries to brainwash you. You have to have two things in place. A narrative, Trump is racist, if Trump is racist, MAGA's racist. And you need symbolism. And this is honest to God. Anything with the color red or anything that had to do with the American flag or anything patriotic, I saw it as racism. I know, crazy, right? That's how warped they had my mind. Again, narrative, symbolism, and the third part, repetition. Here you go. These white MAGA men will beat you up for being gay. Yeah, not true. The message has been consistent with white conservative men in the comment section. We don't care who you poke in the butt. Let's just clean this country up. No, somebody really said that. I thought it was hilarious. I know this might sound absolutely loony to people on the left, but Republicans can have gay people in their family. They might also have gay friends. Oh my God. I know, crazy, right? I was already on the Trump train. I just had no idea how the MAGA community was. And all I've received from them this week is an overwhelming support of love. This experience has taught me anything is that any group, whether it's gay, Republican, black, white, they all have their set of extremists, people who do way too much. To paint everybody under the same light is just completely unfair. This experience has taught me how to judge people on their character and their actions and not by the stereotypes thrown at me by the media. I've learned that the MAGA community
is diverse. You can try to have political purism and you can try to have small tent Republican politics, and you know what you're going to get? You're going to get Kamala Harris. That's what you're going to get. That's your choice. Or you can have big tent Republican politics, have your own decisions when it comes to culture and personal life, but realize we've got one thing, and that's to defeat the radical Democrats and save this country. So that's why I'm for a big tent Republican Party. And that's why at this stage in the game, big tent conservative politics are the only way to move forward to victory. If we try to have little tent Republican politics, little tent conservative politics, you can kiss this country goodbye. See ya. But see, it's working, folks. It's working.
To tell you the story, the history of InfoWars MD, one of our biggest and most important lines of high-quality supplements, because it's a story of political attacks and not giving up, and it's an amazing product line that funds our operation. Going back about 3 years ago during all the deplatforming of InfoWars, not just off the internet, not just with banking, some of the big supplement manufacturers that we were using, some of the best in the country, had been bought up during the pandemic, during the shutdown, and then they would notify us. We had five companies making product for us. Three of them notified us that we're no longer going to work with you because you're Alex Jones and you're InfoWars. So we made a lot of phone calls, reached out to our contacts, and we found one of the biggest supplement makers in the country. I'm not going to say their names. They get harassed, but they're big listeners. And they said, listen, you know we were supplying a lot of the raw materials to several of your manufacturers that are no longer doing business with you, and we would love to put out a private label where we just put your label on our product, and then when people order from you, it drop ships out of our warehouses. And so we added a bunch of their products to our lineup, and I didn't ever really promote them a lot because we were, you know, selling our products and a lot of the products that we developed. But so many of these products that they had put out again, were the exact same thing that we were putting out. In fact, in some cases, like in the case of Nitric Boost, it's the exact same formula that we private labeled from them before we were even doing InfoWars MD with them. So case in point right now, our version of Nitric Boost, it's so good for your heart and body and cardiovascular system, cleans out your blood. Dr. Minkiewicz has talked about being one of the best formulas out there. Our version of it sold out about 3 weeks ago. Well, their version is just a white bottle from their warehouse, and it's the exact same pill, the exact same people, does the exact same thing, and it's the exact same price. So that's what InfoWars MD is. Take Turmeric 95. Turmeric 95 is called that because it's the strongest curcuminoid concentrate, 95% that they can make. And it turns out that's the company years ago when I wanted to put out the strongest turmeric available that was actually producing it. So, Body's Ultimate Turmeric Formula sold out at InfoWarsStore.com, but not their Turmeric 95, which is the same 95% curcuminoid and the same ingredients that boost it. So that's why InfoWars MD is such an amazing line. And because of the bankruptcy, the attempts to shut us down, and the bad CRO we had here before, who would not reorder product, we would not have any new product to sell to stay on air if we hadn't set this up with InfoWars MD. Now, they've got over 100 products, and as we speak, we're making labels for the rest of their line. But 17 of their products that are their best sellers, the top of their catalog, we do have at InfoWarsStore.com from InfoWars MD. So, I've told you some of the history, what's behind it. It's amazing. It's super high quality. Here's just a few of the things that are available. Nitric Boost, Good Night's Sleep, Joint Relief Max is amazing, Nerve Renew, Prostate Support, Probiotic Formula, CBD Full Spectrum, 25 milligram gummies, CBD Full Spectrum, 10 milligram gummies, works great, Turmeric 95, Libido RX, Better Mood, Mushroom Max for mental clarity and your immune system, Superfood Greens, Ageless Vitality Collagen, and a lot more. So if you want to keep InfoWars on the air, at the same time get amazing products, please visit InfoWarsStore.com today and check out the InfoWars MD line of products. There's a bunch of others I didn't mention. We're adding more every few days. So please take action and go to InfoWarsStore.com and secure your InfoWars MD today.
If you are receiving this transmission, you are the resistance.
We have to stay woke. Like, everybody needs to be woke. And you can talk about if you're the wokest or woker, but just stay more woke than less woke.
Yeah.
She's the only one laughing. Did you see that, guy? She's the only one laughing. The other women on the stage were like, what in the hell is she talking about? Her mannerisms. Guys, I'm sorry. Nobody's this cringe. Nobody ever. It's not even close. I discount every crew member's opinion now. I mean, notice how no one else on the stage is laughing, Kamala, except you. It's like her awkward... It's like she does the awkward body language with the chicken arms and the limp wrist and the bobblehead, although that's just probably her normal political reaction, if you know what I mean. And then... But it's the cackle. It's the awkward moment where she realizes, okay, whatever I just said was really stupid and I look stupid, so I'm just going to start cackling and that'll distract from the stupid. Okay. But this was just moments ago. They're not drunk. Kamala Harris and Tim Walz are not drunk in clip 19. Yeah, nobody can believe it, not even her. She can't even believe it. She did it. Rode her way to the top.
Good evening, Philadelphia.
There's actually more. There's other. It's just. But hey, you gotta get. She doesn't even believe it. She's like, I'm actually doing this. We're actually here. Oh my God. Nobody can believe it, but here we are. And Nancy Pelosi is definitely not drunk in clip 14.
Whether it's, well, it's the first bill to protect our bill,
COVID.
Shots in the arm, money in the pockets, children in school, people at work, the infrastructure bill, building in a way that is respectful of communities, chips and science.
What? Wow. But if you cut through the drunken rambling, what you hear is actually a hardcore communist. The government's going to force a vaccine into your arm, and they're going to give you money. So if you can cut through the drunken belligerence from Pelosi, that's actually what she's just espousing hardcore communism. All right, so remember, you know, this is kind of funny too. Remember when they were saying J.D. Vance is afraid to debate Kamala? Remember that? And then the Trump campaign came out and said, well, we're not even sure who the president or vice president is going to be, so we'll just hold off on committing J.D. Vance to a Kamala debate. You know, looking back on it, they probably should have taken it, or now they should re-challenge it and say, Kamala, why don't you stick to your challenge of J.D. Vance debate first? And then maybe you can deal with Trump. Or maybe Biden wants to come out for another debate. So you just heard a drunken Kamala, or sober Kamala, chicken Mala. This was J.D. Vance at a rally earlier today, dealing with a heckler in the crowd, clip 18.
Drug cartels bring across that open border. Now, you asked about the remarks that I made that were, you said that they were offensive to millions of women. Well, here's what I'd say.
This cat lady loves you.
Thank you, ma'am.
Cat ladies for Vance. So one cat lady heckled him. He responds.
What I said is very simple. I think American families are good and government policy should be more pro-family. Now, if the media wants to get offended about a sarcastic remark I made before I even ran for the United States Senate, then the media is entitled to get offended. You know what I'm offended by? I'm offended that normal Americans can't afford grocery prices. I'm offended that Kamala Harris opened up the American southern border and allowed fentanyl to come into our communities. And I'm offended that she wants to be the people's president, but she won't even answer tough questions. That's what I'm offended by. And I think that's what most Americans are offended by, too. And I guess on that note, I should say thank you all for having me. It's great to be here. If I can ask you to just do one thing. We have got... Thank you. We have got an incredible amount of momentum.
All right. I would say J.D. Vance is coming into his own. I think it would be fair to say that J.D. Vance is coming into his own. Well, we can talk about the future of the Republican Party tomorrow. Let me get through some of these headlines that we have today. Donald Trump has announced he's going to be doing an interview with Elon Musk on Monday. Monday, Trump-Musk interview. Details to follow, he says. So that'll pretty much break the internet. That'll be huge. Looking forward to that. And so what's the response from Democrats when Musk endorses Trump? Well, they have to engage in lawfare against him. Elon Musk PAC investigated by Michigan's Secretary of State. So now the Democrats are coming after Musk. Elon Musk X files antitrust suit against ad cartel GARM for coordinating illegal boycott. We tried peace for 2 years. Now it's war. By the way, there was a big decision in a court decision against Google for acting as a monopoly. And they're going to appeal this. It's going to be in the Supreme Court eventually. So that's really all you need to know at this point. But basically, Google had a major setback for basically antitrust monopoly violations. And the decision was against them. The appeal is inevitable. This case is going to end up in the Supreme Court. It's going to be one of the most more higher consequential cases when it comes to big tech, certainly, and just the power of Google. So that's another big development there. We'll get to some of this other news on the assassination again tomorrow, as we're running out of time here today. Judicial Watch, federal court hearing set for August 6th in Ashley Babbitt, $30 million wrongful death lawsuit. So this did happen today. This is happening actually while we were on air. So I'm sure there's some new developments. But the issue is that this case is happening in a D.C. court. So do you really think Ashley Babbitt is going to get a favorable treatment from a D.C. court? Now, if Ashley Babbitt was George Floyd, she'd make $300 million, and the officer that shot her would be in jail. But since she's Ashley Babbitt, and she's in a D.C. court, well, I don't know. I just don't know. But they're still arresting people for January 6th. Tennessee man arrested for assaulting law enforcement and other charges during January 6th Capitol breach. Assaulting law enforcement. They didn't share any evidence of this in their report, but apparently he was one of the individuals that was using a bike rack to break through a law enforcement line, according to this report. But, you know, if he would have been rioting in the anti-Israel riots, burning American flags, desecrating monuments, he would have been released with no charges. But he's not. And so... he'll be suffering the fullest extent of the law. By the way, I agree with Hillary Clinton on something. Guys, hold your horses. Don't be upset. I agree. Hillary Clinton is actually right about something. This is an unbelievable development. Hillary Clinton says this yesterday. She says, I don't think this has gotten enough attention. Trump keeps saying he'll cut funding for schools that require vaccinations. I agree, Hillary. I agree. This has not gotten enough attention. And so I will do Hillary Clinton's bidding right here today on the InfoWars War Room. Donald Trump vows he will defund public schools that require vaccines for students if he is reelected. Hillary says it hasn't gotten enough attention. I agree. I agree, Hillary. See, Hillary wants the state to mandate that your child takes a big pharmaceutical product. Hillary Clinton wants to mandate that your child has a forced injection. Hillary Clinton wants to mandate that that needle go into your child's arm, even if it's experimental. And Donald Trump is against it. So I agree, Hillary. That story is not getting enough attention. And so we give it attention here today. All right, some other news stories we didn't get to. A big policy change coming to X. But we'll investigate that tomorrow. We'll take a 21-hour break. It's the InfoWars War Room brought to you by InfoWarsStore.com. We'll see you tomorrow. In the meantime, you stay classy, InfoWarriors, and don't listen to too much Kamala Harris for your own intelligence.
You've seen what President Trump has gone through in the last 8 years. And you've seen a lot of the things that InfoWars has gone through. And I want to thank all of you over the years for your word of mouth, your prayer, and your financial support, because without you, we would not be on the air. Now, without getting into a two-hour-long story, in the process of the bankruptcy in the last 2 years, we were basically sabotaged, and the people that were brought in here to supposedly run things didn't reorder product, even though there was plenty of money at the time, to basically put this operation in a position of shutting down. But by the grace of God, years ago, I set up backup supplement line from one of the main providers of the raw materials we were using. And so many of these InfoWars MD products are actually our famous products, simply private labeled, and others are different formulas this company offers. They're all top of the line. They're already best sellers. They're already all over the market and in stores and online under other names, but they are all the very best. So this line is called InfoWars MD. Our supplements are basically all sold out. Only a few things are left, like X2, X3, and some of the other amazing products. But with InfoWars MD, you have Turmeric 95. That is the same formula as Body's Ultimate Turmeric Formula. You have the nitric boost. It's so good for your heart, cardiovascular system. It is the exact same formula. So our nitric boost is sold out. They have their nitric boost. They even let us use their name nitric boost a few years ago. So they're the original makers of this that Dr. Mikovits and others have talked about being one of the best formulas out there. So these are all really amazing products. You want to check out the line of InfoWars MD at InfoWarsStore.com, and it funds our operation. Get great products and help keep us on the air. I need you to take action. You will love these products. They work really, really good. No matter which one you try, they're already top of the line, tested, private label by us, available right now at InfoWarsStore.com under the InfoWars MD label. Thank you for your support.
If you are receiving this transmission, you are the resistance.